Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. This is a special episode. This is a Hotel Chocolat special. They've sponsored us throughout 2021 and we're doing a little Christmas special. So it's going to be a lot of chat with some friends. I've got two guests today. I've got my podcast legend and Hardcore Listing co-host, Chris Glasson. And I've got the podfather himself, Scroobius Pip, joining me today to sample some of the creamy drinks from the Hotel Chocolat Cacao Bar. So we've got some nice drinks to drink whilst we talk about Christmas and music at Christmas. So you're in for an absolute treat. So big thanks to everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Big thanks to Hotel Chocolat. Big thanks to 76 for producing this. Biggest of thanks and happiest of Christmases to you lot for listening, supporting the podcast and coming back week in, week out, sending me nice messages, sharing it and liking it on the socials. Thank you so much. Let's get straight to it. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track, Hotel Chocolat Christmas special. Sorry, I've interrupted the podcast, but with good reason. Hotel Chocolat are our sponsors. You know that now because I tell you about it every episode. But they've been super kind now. And you may have heard me talking about the products from the Cacao Bar. And there's gins, cream liqueurs, all sorts of wonderful chocolatey goodies. And what they've done is they've set a page up on the website that you can go to. And all you've got to do is just for you Off the Beaten Track listeners, go over there, answer a question, and you could win the full range delivered to your front door. I mean, that's kind of them. All you have to do is go to this place, hotelchocolat.com/OTBT podcast. That's OTBT as in Off the Beaten Track podcast. hotelchocolat.com/OTBT podcast. Go get your grubby little mitts on some deliciously chocolatey drinks, courtesy of our sponsors, Hotel Chocolat. I'll get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Right, we are recording. This is a... we've done the intro, so you kind of know what this is. But it gives me great pleasure to welcome today my co-podcast, Hardcore Listing person, Christopher William Glasson. Hello.
Hey, matey.
And Scroobius Pip. Hello.
Hello. I'm a bit choked up. Part of warmth of that introduction to Chris there. That really, that got me. That was really beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Oh, that's
thanks.
Nice.
Yeah, my co-podcasting person, Chris.
I started and beautiful. Got a bit lost. As
really,
I
really warm. The warmth was overwhelming.
Well, we're recording two podcasts tonight. We're going to be recording our annual drunk cast for the Distraction Pieces Network, which we'll be looking forward to later. However, we will be having some drinks this evening because this specific episode is in association with my sponsors, Hotel Chocolat. So it's Christmas, so I thought we'd talk about Christmas and Christmas records, with it being Off the Beaten Track. So I'm going to throw the question over to you first, Pippikins, whilst I pour our first drink, which is the Salted Caramel Chocolate Cream Liqueur, which is a bit special.
I've had this one before, and it is delish. So, looking forward to it.
Can you wait till you've tried it and then pass comment on it?
No, I have had it before.
Unbelievable.
Your listening skills. Is this what you like on this podcast?
Right.
So I'm going to get really excited every time Stu says chocolat. Because it's very funny when the rest of his sentence is like, all right, brother, hotel chocolat.
It's like when you say it beautifully. When you watch a foreign film and then they say an English word and it just sounds so different.
Right, so I've got some questions about Christmas records. And this is going to be a far different, if you're regular listeners, this will be a little bit more like the Tony Rod episode, where there'll be a few drinks. It's a far more relaxed kind of format. And, yeah, so I'm going to start with some notes that I've made. Where are they? Here we go. Right, Pip, I would like to ask you, what was the first ever Christmas song you remember hearing?
Well, I was thinking about this when I was doing the prep, or when you told us the questions about 10 minutes ago. And it would have been Christmas carols and hymns, because I went to an all-boys Catholic school, like Christmas songs and people doing, school choir and all that kind of thing were a massive part of that. So it would have been like A Silent Night or something. I like that, I guess.
Is that the boring direction you wanted to go in this show?
My next question was about hymns, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of works.
Well, like, done.
I look back genuinely fondly of just belting out. I know that at school I would have been pretending to sing along. I would have been mouthing it, miming it, because I was uncomfortable. Now I think the chance to go and just belt out those absolute bangers, maybe not A Silent Night, but like Come All Ye Faithful and stuff like that.
Once in Royal Davies City was
sing
one of my
Hosanna,
yes! Sing Hosanna
of Kings. I'd love to go and belt that out now.
Yeah, it was like hymns were like, do kids still sing hymns at school?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Did you used to?
Yeah, quite enjoyed it, like you, mate. But we even at junior school, we sung songs like When I'm 64. Well, I don't know what that was. When I'm 64. That was my favourite song that we sung, which isn't even a hymn. But we'd all get together and have a drink and sing When I'm 64. Part of that is a lie. But yeah, I really enjoy that. Yeah. And I actually, I've got the second worst singing voice I know.
It's loud though, isn't it?
I think that's part of the problem. I can't control the power.
Level.
Yeah.
And but I did go for auditions to sing in like some Essex choir and had to sing drip, drip, drop, little April shower. And I sucked. And I had to sing in front of about 500 kids. And even I knew as I was singing it, I was like, why am I doing this?
There was video footage of that. A young Chrissy Glasson.
I mean, you've obviously gone on to have a successful career in music.
Yeah.
Could you sing for shit when you was at school?
Not at school, just nerves. Just wasn't up for it at all. Felt incredibly self-conscious. Let's have a little cheers on these. I've already had a little sip. I couldn't resist, yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
I've done it again.
There you go. Nicked it, all in one.
I would have had just nerves and all that kind of thing. And yeah, I think I'd be a lot more... Or I wouldn't care as much now. I wouldn't care that I can't sing, because it's about a group of people all belting out. Weirdly, I think going to football has changed it, because there's a big similarity with kind of a lot of those hymns and chants on the football ground is just, it's the unison of the people that makes it good. It's not anyone's individual tone.
You can get lost in it,
can't you? Everyone in a similar tone, just all singing along. It's lovely.
Mm. I remember I had an audition. I thought I could... Basically, it was pure X Factor stuff. My mum and dad always told me I could sing. Right? Oh, I really can't sing. And I auditioned for the choir in the maybe third or fourth year junior. And I remember just like thinking, laddie's best, get heard, put yourself out there. And they tapped several of us on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I just walked over with the others and was like, and I was one of the first ones they tapped. And I was like, yeah, boy. And then
it's like being picked for a team.
Yeah. And then, as I started to kind of look at who the shoulders they were tapping, I was thinking, oh no, this might not be going quite as I see it. And yeah, I was, I think I was the second person to get picked to not be in the choir.
Brilliant, brilliant.
So, didn't stop me from thinking, I'll start a band then. I'll sing in that band. But you can't sing. Yeah, I mean, that don't matter. Okay, so Chris, first Christmas song you would have remembered.
I'm struggling. Like when you said that in the car, I can't. I don't know what it is. I can tell you what Christmas song or tape I obsessed over at Christmas. That's my strongest memory. And it was released around Christmas, which was Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers, which has got really nothing to do with Christmas. But I got it around Christmas, and it was just this epic, like, to be nine and have this mix of all these great tunes was, yeah, it was really good. In terms of Christmas song, something along the lines of, one that would stay with me would be something like Wizard, and I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, because it's just a bit of a pump, it's a bit of a pump up Christmas song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really. And as a kid, you do want it to be Christmas every day, right? I don't think you understand the law of diminishing marginal returns as a 7-year old, like we all do now. So I think that was kind of, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it is great. I still know it's in my top five, which incidentally, when I got around Pips earlier, he was like, do you know what we're doing around shoes? I went, yeah, top five Christmas songs. He went, no, it's a different podcast, mate. I was like,
oh yeah, that's my one, isn't it?
I was like, have you listened to Off the Beat Track? Like, it's not top fives.
I even planned that yesterday. I like, set some time aside.
We're going to get round to talking about our favourite Christmas songs.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. So but yeah, I love Wizard and Top of the Pops and all that jazz. And I've got strong memories of being around, especially my cousins Billy and Kenny singing that song. So yeah,
I think like for me, it definitely would have been Slade and Wizard. I mean, they're your kind of, they're your benchmark Christmas songs, aren't they?
Which one did what? What did Slade do? I was
conflating the two together.
No, you got it right.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and Slade obviously did. So here it is. Merry
Christmas.
Yeah. They were the ones that I think, just as in my childhood, the Slade one probably got re-released like two or three times.
Okay.
And he's a belter, and Noddy Elder's voice. Yeah, he's so good.
Louder is better.
He's got a loud voice.
Yeah.
He would have got tapped on the shoulder. Come on, Noddy. You're over here.
So, sort of thinking of those sort of early Christmases and presents and such, like, did records or tapes or CDs ever find their way into the Christmas stocking? Christopher?
Yes, so for Christmas, I got my first, I kind of conflate between Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers, Michael Jackson's Bad, and actually this other one, but this was the first one, and this was at a request of me. My first ever tape I got for Christmas was the, so mad, the Top Gun soundtrack. Because I loved You Take My Breath Away. I can't imagine like an 8-year-old me being like absolutely mystified, and I felt the first feeling of what romance was in hearing that song. It's such a strange thing, like you think about me as a human being, like,
Chris, turn it off and get back to practicing April showers. You've got your big competition tomorrow.
Like, yeah, I can't say it was very cool. No, but yeah, that was it. Yeah, I remember getting that and being like, wicked.
Where else is on that?
Highway to the danger zone. Wah, wah,
wah, wah, that's wah, a tune.
Wah. Yeah.
Has it got the wow, 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 like the Top Gun music? That was well good.
I'll be honest, after Christmas, I didn't really listen to that ever again, that tape.
Is there a track called Playing With The Boys that soundtracks the iconic volleyball scene?
Yeah. I think that's on there.
Yeah. It's got to be, right?
Classic. Yeah.
No, I can't remember. I'm pretty... No, all guesswork, so I'm just going to pot commit. Well, absolutely, that's how it starts.
Film soundtracks were huge in the 80s, though. Mm. You know, things like Top Gun and Dirty Dancing, you know, that obviously all following on from the tail end of the 70s with Grease and Saturday Night Fever. Like, them big sort of 80s movie soundtracks.
And then into 90s as well. Last Action Hero was one of the... Well, I think that might be the first CD I ever got. And I just... I loved that soundtrack because it adds... I've talked about it before, but...
How did you have a successful music career?
No, at Cypress Hill, when the shit goes down.
Yep.
But the film wasn't an 18, so shit. All they did to censor it was, yeah, on the package, and it says when the ship goes down, yeah, rather than shit. Simple censorship. All in your head. And yeah, it had loads of... Yeah, it had a really good AC/DC song on there. It's proper good. It not led the way to the extent of Judgment Day, but it was that mixture of here's some rock, here's some rap.
Yeah.
There's a few different things on there.
Nice.
Because I think a lot of people
look back fondly on the Judgment Night soundtrack, but not so much the film. Like, I couldn't tell you much about that film. I think I've seen it once or twice.
I have watched it a lot.
I have as well. I love it.
Weirdly, I have seen it a lot. It's only pipped by a movie called, I think it was called Trespass, which I watched a lot of as well. And that was, it was very kind of similar sort of theme. All the sort of, like, similar format as well with the actors and
whatnot. Do you remember the one where it was around that same time where Ice-T was being hunted?
Trespass is the one where, so Judgment Night they're getting hunted, and then Trespass someone else is getting hunted for fireman treasure. Treasure that firemen find in a burning building.
Now, on the one I'm thinking of, they've lured him somewhere, and it's literally rich people. He's like in the woods trying to escape, like they're literally hunting like game.
You're not thinking a Hard Target with Van Damme. Sorry, this is about movie music. Sorry, Stu.
What was the other? I mean, and obviously in '90s, as you moved into that, Godzilla was a big soundtrack, wasn't it? Jamiroquai, Puff Daddy.
Yeah,
with Jimmy Page.
Well, I mean, '90s for me. So when I really started
Training Day, do you remember that?
Was that a good soundtrack?
Fuck you. You don't remember that?
No.
Very much. Fuck you. It was his song after Get the Fuck Up. It was the Training Day main song. Oh, it's brilliant. Anyway.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That was when I was really getting into my rugby music, though. Once I got, like, a Jive Bunny out of my system. Actually, to be fair, I think it's dope. I'd probably listen to that now.
Everybody.
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two.
That's really good, she. But in the 90s, it was all, for me, in terms of soundtracks, it was Quentin Tarantino's movies. Like,
well,
you know, Reservoir Dogs was just off the... That was the first one I got. I think I've spoken on our podcast how I got a Reservoir Dogs poster in my garage. And my dad chased me up the stairs because he was so angry. I'd put a Reservoir Dogs poster up. He's like, you're taking the piss out of me, aren't you? No, Dad. Because he thought it was kind of really violent. So he wanted to beat me up over it. And then obviously the Pulp Fiction one. But, I mean, all Quentin Tarantino soundtracks are...
Jackie Brown across 110th Street.
Oh my god!
And Trainspotting, huge '90s film soundtrack. Pip,
yes.
Early memories of Christmas presents that were CDs, tapes, or records.
Well, it became a big thing in our family. So basically, my uncle Rob and auntie Antoinette would always just get us something from HMV. So we'd send them a list of stuff that we wanted.
Amazing.
Before you get onto that, you mentioned HMV. Obviously, you worked in HMV for years. When did record tokens fizzle out? Was that in your time there, or were they still...
I'd say they're still somewhat valid.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah, it's completely in my time there. That
was
a huge
record
part.
Token? Sorry.
Just so
it's like a VHS, it's a WHMS voucher, but for HMV.
Yeah.
Just dumb it down for me. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Got it.
I don't think I've quite got it yet, but.
Never mind, Poirot. Go on.
We'll go up. If someone smarter comes in, we'll go. It's like book tokens.
like milk tokens, yeah?
That's it.
All right. I think
yeah. I know. But
you can
yeah.
only spend them in HMV, though.
That's the problem. A beer pre that, because they wanted it to make it more personal, I guess, we'd give, like we'd send a list of what we wanted. And me and Ian, being little alternative kids, I always remember there'd always be stories at Christmas of the confusion that my aunt calls going in and asking for Gorky's Psychotic Monkey or Green Day or whomever else, and just absolute confusion and despair. But yeah, that was a massive thing for ages. And it was the present I was looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
Because as stupid as it is, I know I'm getting a CD I want. And again, we weren't rich, so it wasn't like now where you just have endless music. It's like, I'm going to get maybe two CDs here. And I know it's not just going to be some Christmas album and Nan's got you or whatever. It's like, it's stuff that I want. I remember the year that my uncle and aunt had been on holiday to America, and my uncle got me Operation Ivy's album, which wasn't available over here. You couldn't, like, imports were harder to do at that point still. Mm. So I remember getting that Operation Ivy Energy, and a few of my mates at school were into Rancid, but Operation Ivy was obviously pre-Rancid and had all of that same vitriol and everything. And that was just hugely exciting to get that at Christmas and be. I played that so many times, can recite every lyric on that record. So yeah. It was all those things that we requested that weren't Christmas albums at all, but it's like,
I worked in WH Smith's
I used to do vouchers, yeah?
They did. You couldn't.
Are they like the record tokens you get in HMV? Yeah.
Specifically, you can't spend them in HMV, though. Mm. They're kind of exclusive.
I'll tell you what was a confusing thing, was the year that Baldur's and HMV merged as companies, and you could spend your Baldur's book vouchers in HMV. And vice versa.
Just to confuse you, WH Smith's bought our price.
There you go, see?
It's a shitstorm, mate. but it was the year that the Best of Sade and the Best of In Excess come out. Mm. It would have been 1990, I think. The amount of confused nans. Sade, please, or Inks. And I would get that at least 20 times. Because that were two of the biggest selling records that Christmas.
Yeah.
But I've got... the first record I ever owned was a Christmas present. That's what I call Music One was the best Christmas present amazing. I've ever had. And absolutely, I've spoken before on various podcasts. That kickstarted my obsession with music and being able to see what they look like from the little pictures and the chart
exciting.
Positions and all the nerdy stuff. And it's still one of my favourite records ever. But I got two more that I can remember. The first was they released a Sam Cooke compilation around 88. There was lots of Levi's ads that would pull up old retro songs. And a Wonderful World by Sam Cooke was the really famous Nick Kamen in the laundrette sitting there in his boxers. And I remember just hearing Sam Cooke's voice. And then I can't remember what Bill Murray film followed it, but they used Cupid by Sam Cooke as well.
Right.
And I remember thinking, I need to buy some Sam Cooke. And like they put this gatefold out called The Man and His Music. And when you opened it up inside, there's all these pictures of him with the Beatles, him with Muhammad Ali, and then like with his kids, because his kids are Womack and Womack. And then you just got all these stats and information about Sam Cooke. I was like, oh, it's amazing. And I remember just like, I could put that on downstairs, because obviously it was of like my parents' generation. So I was like, I'll put that on. And they were like, yeah. And like my dad had a better stereo than me. I had like a cheapo Dixon's thing. So I remember sort of putting that on and being able to have that on Christmas Day. But then fast forward like a couple of years to 91. And my nan asked me what I wanted. And I got the Billy Bragg album, Don't Try This at Home, with like sexuality and stuff like that on it. I weren't allowed to play that one downstairs. That was like, I vividly remember going upstairs on like in the afternoon after dinner and just laying on my bed and just listening to like this record and thinking, oh, what a good day. Like, I've got this new, it was a double album as well. And I remember just like listening to it and just thinking, oh, this is brilliant. I'm listening to Billy Bragg on Christmas Day. It was like, amazing.
That's amazing.
Have you seen One Night in Miami?
No.
It's on Amazon. It came out this year. It might be in my Films of the Year list. And it's dramatisation of the night that Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and Muhammad Ali all were in a hotel room together, all hanging out, because I think... Or it's Cassius Clay at that point. It was before he changed. So Cassius Clay had just been had a boxing match and won, and it was after that they all... Those four all went back to a hotel room together. It's amazing.
It was after that fight there, the poster on the wall. It was, yeah. He was one of his last fights, Clay.
It's on Amazon Prime. It's really good. Like I said, it came out this year and it was amazing, but it was at the point where we were just coming out of, or there was question over more lockdowns, all this kind of thing. It felt like it got ignored a bit, but you'll love that. It's really good. And the performances of the four playing them is so good.
I'm all over that. And I think how many times, if you need a poignant song to kind of soundtrack that whole kind of time, Change Is Going to Come by Sam Cooke gets used so well in so many films.
The lad who plays Sam Cooke in this is amazing. I'm sure it's the lad from Hamilton, Leslie Odom Jr.
Right.
And he's got a perfect voice. So it's literally, he's an amazing actor and also can just, recreate all of it. You'll like that.
Well, kind of bringing things forward to now, do you listen to Christmas music?
I've got a tradition that's I used to have a Christmas Eve tradition. It was go up the bell and I'd have a drink or two with my family, but then I'd always leave early and I'd walk home on my own with Oi to the World by the Vandals on a loop, and I'd just listen to it. I'd be a bit tipsy, it'd be a nice crisp night, and I'd do it every time. I'd get home and I'd watch Die Hard and I'd go to bed, and that was my Christmas Eve for years. I'd often nip, because my mum would be up the bell, I'd nip into my mum's house and leave a little Santa sack for her, because she always used to do a Santa sack for me and Ian, but her and my dad would do them. So when they separated, as soon as I was old enough, I'd start doing a little Santa sack for my mum, of just useless shit, but good fun. Yeah, so that was my tradition. But Oi to the World on loop, honestly, on that night, I could listen to that. I did it in Vancouver last year. I was on my own on Christmas Eve.
Oh, really?
The one night I saw anyone, one of the producers invited me over because him and his family were there and they were having their Christmas Eve, and we were all obviously all tested and whatever else. So I went and had an evening of just food and hanging out with them, and then I walked back, and it was almost an hour to get back to my Airbnb, and I walked along the dock area in Vancouver, just Oi to the World on loop, and it was the most connected to the UK I felt because of that tradition. Love it.
Very nice.
Like if you're opening your presents or you're around your families, do you sling on a bit of Christmas music?
I think more in the evening, during the day, no. So during the day will be
silence.
abject silence.
It's not time yet.
definitely lots of celebrating and partying in the evenings. But less so during the day, unless I'm at Billy and Kenny's, and then the musical, they've got a pub in the back garden, and I basically spend the whole time there listening to Christmas music, playing pool and whatnot. But in terms of what Christmas music I listen to, last year I listened to quite a few new tracks, mainly because Molly was doing music PR for different bands and whatnot, and a lot of our friends either had, records in the charts and whatnot. But I'll just go back to nostalgia and the songs that I like the most. I'm not really, I'm not trying to break any new barriers with what I'm listening to at Christmas usually.
Well, we'll get on to our favourite Christmas records. But before we get on to that, if I was to say we're going to karaoke now and you're going to sing a Christmas song.
No,
you're not going to. I'm just for the sake of the podcast.
Crystal, we're going now. Where is it? How near is it?
No, because I just have because I've ruined Christmas about 10 years ago now. I absolutely ruined it.
Who?
Everyone. Just everyone in the house.
What did you do, Chris?
It's not one of my more rude stories. It's, and it's not even a Christmas song, but Ross, my brother, got a karaoke machine, and my brother is a little bit of the fan base of X Factor, who are basically, they've filled out their application form to go on it, and they quite fancy themselves on there. Mm. I've heard my brother sing. He's all right at singing. He is. He's slightly above average, I guess. And so he buys a karaoke machine and everyone's singing. I know how bad I am. And they all force me to sing. And like it literally takes... And I'm a confident lad. You know me. I'm always up for a laugh. I just know that I'm not a good singer. I've ruined weddings and funerals. I've got to not sing.
I think karaoke is a different kind of confidence. Because it's not that I'm going to get up and do something and it's funny. It's like I'm going to get up and it's 3 minutes of this.
I can do it.
It's not a quick...
I can do it. I've pulled off some incredible performances at Green Day.
Me and Tom Coles have had
New
some
York.
Terrible karaoke moments together. Teaming up and Stu Till, me, Tom Coles, and Stu Till alternating whose partners, just thinking, oh, this will be hilarious if we go and do this.
And was it? Did it?
No, not any time was it hilarious in the slightest. Stu and Tom doing Men in Black was one of the worst things I've ever seen, because it's got a lot of rapping in as well. Which
that's ambitious.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It was awful.
Right, we're just having a little sip of the salted caramel and clementine. A bit of chocolate orange.
I think that's better. I haven't tried this one before. Oh, wow.
That is good.
But the song I picked... Now, you can say that the criticism here is my song choice. I picked Dry Your Eyes, Mate, by The Streets.
That's quite long as well, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't long. Because 4 hours of campaigning and badgering me to do it, and eventually I said I'd do it. Everyone was happy. Within 30 seconds, everyone was disinterested. Within a minute, my brother was like, you don't have to. And I thought, fucking hell, how soul-destroying is that? That they forced me to do it. And,
nah, just
and,
leave it, actually.
And Mike Skinner, you know, it was a terrible choice by me, but Mike Skinner isn't exactly, it's quite a morose song, isn't it, let's be honest. And he doesn't sing, he talks through it. It was.
Keep it like Chris's Christmas.
It was the worst. But if I was to sing a Christmas song, I'll just go all out. I'll probably do All I Want for Christmas. Just something within my vocal range.
Love it. Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Pip? I'd be all over. I've just watched, and we'll talk about this actually on the Drunkcast, I watched the new Springsteen DVD that came out. It's a 90-minute version of the 2 or 3 nights he did at Madison Square Garden, which was a charity thing, and he did like 4 hours each night, and it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen as a live thing. But he didn't do it in this, but...
You better watch out!
Is coming to town. You'd have to go for it. I'd get Miss Leavis Denim on, which I know you boys are a fan of, and I'd be Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
Solid choice. Solid choice.
As someone said, I saw a tweet saying, the way Springsteen says Santa Claus in that song, it's like he's one of the boys in The Boys Are Back in Town. Santa is one of the boys.
Definitely.
It definitely is. Sums it up perfectly. Santa has never been cooler.
Well, with that in mind, like, let's rattle off some of our favourite Christmas records. So, you like that one?
I think it's fucking great. I can't get enough of it. Because, again, it is a bit morose but upbeat as well.
Yeah.
It is quite...
It's a really strange record, cracking. That. Like, do you know much else about Jonah Louie?
No.
So Jonah Louie had a track that you can. It's actually in the Young Ones, but he had another hit. I would have thought before that. I might be wrong. Which was covered by another band in the early 2000s. You never heard, or are you familiar with? You'll Always Find Me in the Kitchen at Parties. And you'll always find me in the kitchen at parties.
Squeeze, was that the band? Not Squeeze.
It was Jonah Louie, mate.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Who's the younger lads?
It was a couple of the kids of the lads in Madness.
Yeah, they were called.
It was used in an IKEA advert.
That was it, yeah.
I can't think what they were called.
They did another banger of a song as well. I'll try and remember.
Yeah, it's a cracker.
I'm a big fan of songs that aren't what they seem like, if you know what I mean. Because it's a war song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a sad song about war
and
not being home. Yet it's everyone having a good dance. The one that always comes to mind is Sound of the Police by KRS-One.
Yeah.
A song about the plantations and slavery in a club. Whoop, whoop, yeah, come on, whoop, whoop. It's like, whoa, it's a banging party track about the plantations.
Yeah.
I get about 60 seconds into that in my set, and then I'm like, I'll change the song now. Because I think everyone likes the start of it, and then it gets a bit heavy. just get that bit in, and then just mix it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Stop the Cavalry. Like, I mean, I'm sure Joan Louis was signed to Stiff Records. He's in the right company there with Madness and... God, who else was on Stiff? Was he in Jury? Started off on Stiff, I think.
Right.
Like, so many amazing bands put stuff out on that label.
Man Like Me was the...
Man Like Me, that was it.
Yeah, they did a song called Squeeze, even though I said Squeeze, which is one of your favourite bands, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squeeze are kind of in that similar sort of...
They're not actual band, so let's move on. It's a made-up fiction.
Bizarrely, supported Madness last week.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like they do exist. There's their set list on the wall just there. what's your favourite Christmas song?
My favourite, some special mentions would be... Well, we actually discussed the other day, so I know what your favourite one is, so I'm not going to mention that because you'll probably throw that one in. There's loads I love. Run, Rudolph, Run. Chuck Berry, I think, is quite a fun one. But my ultimate is Stay Another Day by E17, which is... I really do get that it's not a good song and it's barely even a Christmas song, but it is to me because they're wearing giant white parkas.
When people say, "Can you see music?"
Yeah,
you just see white parkas, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's just, do you know what? It's just full of nostalgia for me. And like, I remember going to Woodlands Youth Club. Like Christmas party, and I wasn't even at that senior school, but my friends were, so I used to go, and it was just all that excitement and expectation. It was around Christmas. We were probably having a sneaky drink. There was girls there, and you'd hope that maybe you could get a kiss. Often didn't, but it's all that hope and expectation and excitement. And Stay Another Day weirdly reminds me of all of that. And that's a bit of a metaphor for Christmas, because what's better, the hope and expectation before you open your Christmas presents, which is just the most exciting moment, or like maybe like midday Christmas, which is fun, but that moment just before you open your Christmas presents is super exciting and hopeful. And that's what that song reminds me of. And really, it's just a bunch of lads just probably off their faces.
Again, another one. It's a sad song about his brother dying, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh, God, I never known that. Now you've ruined it.
But I've got a clip of it on my phone because my brother sent it to me, and it's just so funny how intense Brian Harvey is delivering his line, because it's a beautiful line. But
this baby, if you've got to go away.
But look.
Is his brother's name Baby?
Is. Hang on.
Why is he angry?
He says it like it's a threat. I touch your face while you are sleeping.
Oh, the fact there's
but a... yeah, it's staying another day. His brother was dying and he wanted him, to stay another day.
Why have
they made it, obviously made it baby to make it more relatable.
They've thrown the baby in there. Well, it's confused me. It's ruined that song for me, I tell you.
Can you think of any other bands that got a Terry in it?
Specials.
Good point.
Fucking good one.
Yeah. That kind of puts part of that, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I took the joke seriously. The Specials next. Was
I'm really out of my depth on this podcast.
One of the coolest bands ever, the Specials. Bollocks.
Stu's not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I'll touch his hand while he's sleeping.
I bloody love Greg Lake. I know there'll be snow this Christmas.
Because I love that little bit. Is that in any?
I'm getting strong Home Alone vibes.
It'd be perfect in a film.
Yeah,
strong Home Alone vibes.
It's so Christmassy. That little sort of sleigh bells as well. I love that. But a bit of Driving Home for Christmas. I'm on board.
Driving Home for Christmas. Yeah, it's nice.
Right. But I mean, let's discuss Mariah Carey. I mean, I
that's my second. That's my number two.
It's a legit fucking banger, isn't it?
Yeah. She must make an absolute fortune of that every year.
Imagine.
She loves it. Chills all year. And then that comes out.
Yeah.
It's just cashing.
5 million plays in that month on Spotify. That's a cool £500. She's
right.
She's laughing. Get what she want for Christmas.
Oh, man.
Fairy Tale of New York is another one that I just think is absolutely amazing.
I'd say that's your top one in it, Stu. So it's my number three. But
I just think it's astounding. And it's only this year I've got into... I can't think of his band's name.
They're called The Pogues.
The Pogues.
Pogies.
For some reason, I was
Pogues.
I was panicking that the Stooges are The Pogues. Something pointing on The Pogues. No, that's Iggy Pop's. But what? Yeah, The Pogues. But... just got into them this year and realised just what an amazing writer he is. And then, it adds to even that song that I've heard a million times and always thought it's underrated how good it is. It's mainly there for people to forget that we have censorship on songs all year round on the radio. Everyone will be tweeting and moaning, going, they're censoring it. There's censorship all year round.
When the ship goes down.
If you say shit, if you say... any of these things, it will be censored on the radio. It's not a special thing for the Pogues, so don't get angry. And again, I love that the Pogues have come out and said all those people are idiots. Of course it should be censored. It's changed its weight has changed, its tone has changed.
So was it watching the Shane documentary that kind of sort of turned you on to some of the other stuff?
It blew me away. And there's a few songs that I just listened to. I got The Best of the Pogues, because it's an obvious choice. They've done so much, but there's a couple of songs on that I'd got it ahead of a 90-minute drive, and there was a couple of songs that I listened to for at least 20 minutes each, just because...
They were 40 minutes long each.
Pair of Brown Eyes.
Yeah, that's one of them. That's the one that I come back to still regularly now. It's just such an amazing song.
Rainy Night in Soho.
Because of the filth of it. Yeah. Going, what? Is he? Oh, okay. Yep. he's confessing some really dark things.
I'm not going to go Fiesta or the Party Starters. Summer in Cyan.
A bit.
Yeah.
And what's the, is it Dirty Old Town?
Dirty Old Town,
That one is just so
fucking
good.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
Pair of Brown Eyes. Well, I got
it just blew me away. Just realizing the what it's about, because again, it's sung like it's exactly as we've been saying. It's sung like a love song, and I guarantee there's hundreds of people who heard that when it was on the charts and all that were like, pair of brown eyes, and it's about a disembodied pair of brown eyes, a dead, a blown up person,
Dirty Old Town is a mass hit. So I never really listened to the Pogues that much until I got with Molly, and then she's got a lot of their stuff on vinyl. And Dirty Old Town is something that you have to learn to really be inducted into their family, really, because it's an Irish hit, really. They all sing it a lot.
What's the ultimate drinking song? I can't think of the names of any of the songs now.
Probably Fiesta, right?
No. Hang on, I'll get it out. I won't play it, but I'll get it
out. Oh, Sally.
No. Amazing, right? Yeah, I can't get enough of...
Yeah, they've stopped doing the Christmas gigs. Obviously, I think up until about 5 years ago, every Christmas they'd do Brixton or something, and it's fucking carnage. But obviously, I think we saw Shane recently on stage. Mm. And I think he's in a wheelchair now.
Yeah, he's in a real bad shape now from the looks of things.
I mean, it was inevitable Shane McGowan was going to be in bad shape. I think it's incredible that he's lived as long as he's lived.
The tail of the tooth. Yeah, if you look
lived,
at
do you know what I mean? He's definitely his own man, and as you know, it's no secret, is it, that alcoholism has been a huge part of his life, and to still be sort of going and still singing is fucking remarkable.
The heartbreaking part on that documentary when they're asking what if he could have one wish, and it is to get it back because he can't write anymore. He doesn't feel he's written anything good in a long while, and he hasn't got it. And that was just so emotional to see him kind of going, "Yeah, I just want to." I want to be able to do what I... Because, again, he confesses he used to be effortless. It just... He'd write hit after hit. Mm. And it's like, I just want that back again, if I could have anything.
Yeah. It's way more mystical, isn't it, I guess, songwriting than, you know... Because people mourn the loss of their limbs and their abilities. But to lose the ability to write something must be hard to trap and understand what's missing and why you're not able to reproduce what you could do in a sort of flow state when you were younger.
Do you get the same sort of creative sensation, however what you want to call it, writing ideas for scripts and things like that, as you do for writing lyrics?
100%, but it's a weird one because it's also, I think, dangerous, because with the lyrics, the completion of that sensation was performing it live.
Mm.
And with scripts, I've got almost too comfortable with just the completion is, I write it and I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, no, I need to get these things made and I need to get that out there. But there's such a... It's so rewarding. And there's scripts I've written and bits that I'm so proud of that no one has ever read. And I've kind of forgotten about them because I'm like, I did it. I finished that script. I'm really happy. And it's... Because it's such a huge thing to get something actually made. Whereas music... You make the song, you do it, you go and play it. With films and stuff, because it's such a huge step, it can be that kind of, well, I'd like to at some point, but part of that drive is completed in the writing of it.
There's a whole script that no one... I forgot about it. And then we were talking the other day, and I was like, I never gave you this horror script that I wrote, and I was happy about it, and I was a bit overwhelmed by it.
Well, you'd given me, one scene, so I think in your head, you'd given me the whole lot.
No,
I loved the one scene
It's the whole thing.
No idea what it's about.
yeah, the whole thing. Oh, yeah, I remember the scene, the beach scene I gave you. New Hotel Chocolat shots inbound. Yeah, it's frustrating as well, because I think when you write a screenplay, it's not yours once it's bought, often. So you know what you crafted, it then changes.
I've got some plans next year. I'll tell you about them off mic.
Exciting.
Well, I'm gonna have a little shot of this is the salted caramel vodka liqueur. Do you want a little dash?
Just give me a tiny little bit. I don't want to go
and
crazy. I have to hold things together on the drunk.
Right, cheers, gang. Thanks, Hotel Chocolat.
Cheers, guys. Yeah.
Say Hotel Chocolat to Shoe once more.
Hotel Chocolat.
Chocolat.
Yeah.
Have they got any kind of guides on stuff to make with these? Like, do they recommend you don't rinse out the shot glass and just mix them all together with a murky...
Do they recommend it, do they recommend you give it curdled? Or is that the...
It's fine.
It tasted great. That was the best one.
There's a big assortment of drinks from the cacao bar.
It's delicious.
It's good, right?
What's that one?
That's the salted caramel vodka liqueur.
Oh, that is delicious.
And there's a few more. All available. And you can win them if you go over to the Off the Beaten Track social medias, or you go over to the Hotel Chocolat website. You can enter a chance to win all of these.
Name any Terry in a band. Is that the question?
No, Pip's bought that. So, look, with that in mind, now we've had a few drinks and we're going to get loose. I'm going to ask the last question. Has there been a good Christmas record made in the last 20 years?
You know, I'm going to defer to Chris on this, because he was saying about listening to a lot of new tracks because of Molly and her music PR. I've not had any that have really grabbed me in recent times. I'll say, in when we're discussing this in the car, it depends if you're into the darkness or not, because that was the last one that I remember being embraced, like as a proper everyone's into this new Christmas song.
I think the charts still mattered then, and you probably saw the video lots, and I think at the time, the Darkness were a really big band, weren't they?
Yep,
but. I think that's probably...
It was a good Christmas song as well, right? Like the pace of it, the swing of it really felt very Christmassy, more than just here's some sleigh bells on it. It felt Christmassy.
I've not heard the new song by Ed Sheeran and Elton John. I can't say I'm that excited about it.
Molly said she heard it. Molly's quite a tough critic of all music. And she was, it's all right. But I mean, that's it, I've not heard it. Yeah, exactly.
Established songwriters,
exactly,
aren't they?
Yeah. Like, there's no argument in that sense that they're banger. They're able to write bangers. Yeah, so I don't think it's a disaster. Yeah. But I haven't heard it to listen to it. Have you? I'm guessing not.
I haven't yet. No. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of Elton's work in the 70s. Ed Sheeran doesn't offend me. I think he's got some all right songs.
Good on him, mate. He's a grafter. So I imagine
Christmas songs have got to be a bit family friendly and safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're cunting the gang and you want to put your own Christmas song out.
You said at the start of this, so in terms of it being specifically Christmas, yeah, so Laurie Wright, which was one of the guys Molly promoted last year, was raising money for a charity, and he did one going cold turkey for Christmas. It was actually really good, and it did okay. But you know, when you think it should have done better, it was really good. But it was also because he's an ex drug addict, and it was great, really well written. But yeah, I mean, you was talking earlier about we were talking about censorship, and have you seen Cunt and the Gang's video for Boris Johnson's Still a Fucking Cunt? The music video, when they censor it, so instead of like something like When the Ship Goes Down, they're saying Boris Johnson's Still a Sausage Roll.
Yeah.
But the video is clearly them saying fucking cunt, and it is gold. Like, I watched it twice yesterday because it's just like them saying it. And obviously, you can mouth fucking cunt as much as you want. Yeah. That's not what the rules are. The rules are, like, if you want to put it anywhere, you can't say it. So Absolutely. It's really good.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you've got cunt on your podcast, probably in and around the time of this as well.
We talk a lot about you.
Oh, brilliant. and obviously, there'll be an episode coming out very soon with him on Off the Beaten Track. And he's reached out and said, as part of the campaign, he wants to come on Hardcore Listening.
Oh, well, absolutely, man. So, I love
we'll be making that happen soon. So, finishing on something quite controversial, which is always exciting and what we want. And obviously, he's a mutual friend, so best of luck to him on his campaign for Christmas glory. Gents, thank you so much for coming on and talking Christmas records.
Pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Lovely stuff.
Cheers, mate.
And thank you to Hotel Chocolat for all the scrummy booze. There you go. Ah, lovely. Get to chat to two of my favourite people whilst drinking some of my favourite booze at my favourite time of the year, Christmas. Go check out the back catalogue if you like hearing Scroobius Pip chat. He's been on twice already. He was my first ever guest on this podcast. If you want to hear a very nervous Stu Whiffin, listen to episode number one. I was petrified. 340 odd episodes down the line, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable now, and I hope yous have picked up on that. Have a lovely Christmas, have a lovely day, and I'll see you next time. Bye bye. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.